This is Mitch. With me is Brad.
Hello.
With me is Bird.
Good afternoon.
Nobody else. Just the three of us.
Yep.
Is it working now?
Yes, it is.
All right.
A little menage a trois. So it's been an active time here for us.
Yeah, it has been.
We've got a lot going on, a lot coming up. Where do we even want to start?
Let's just mention a couple things that are coming up for people who are just going to listen to the first few minutes of this podcast and turn it off because, you know, we want them to come out and meet us in person.
Get to commercial break.
Yep. MLS Cup is this weekend, and our friends at St. Louis FC are throwing a party.
Woohoo!
But it's a very elusive guest list.
Elite. If you will say.
In order to be on the guest list, you have to have purchased season tickets.
I did.
I'm going to be there, Bert.
Probably.
There you go. If you bought fancy seats, you'll get to meet your seat that day. Get to wander out into the soccer park. And
oh, I thought it was like one of those circular mirrors where you can turn around and look at your
No. You get to actually go out onto the stadium and say, this is where I want to sit. Pick your spot. For those of us in general admission and going to be sitting in the standing, rather, in the supporter section.
Yeah, no sitting.
No sitting. We already know where we're going to be, but we're going to go there, have some good times, watch the MLS Cup, and just hang out with friends.
I like the idea of having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that idea.
Yep. There will be food and drink and, you know, just generally great people.
Because everything we do there is good fun.
Yes.
Like it was the other week.
Kickball tournament.
We had a great time.
In the miserable, miserable weather.
Yeah, but we raised over $1,000 for charity, and we didn't get to play all three games because of the weather. So,
which was probably a
that's
good
no
idea.
Bad thing.
Yeah,
no, you know what? That was no bad thing.
Based on our athletic prowess that we were exhibiting,
I got together with the other captains, and you know, we were trying to decide how to award a champion, and you know, we just said, you know what? Let's just split the money evenly to all the charities. Everybody out there gave 100%, and you know. The best for all of us to go away happy.
Now, one of the most interesting things I found about it was hanging out with your brother.
Yes, my actual biological brother was there.
That was really weird. He was playing for the worldwide team, and it's like a mini Brad. It's really kind of creepy.
Yep, it was weird.
And he also has a soft touch, just like his brother.
Yeah, Joel's a good guy. I did not expect to see Joel there, and in fact, when I did see Joel, I wasn't sure it was Joel. And I said, wait a minute. I think you're my brother.
But we also had another special guest in for the Luligan team that day. Our very own Crystal Macchio was in from overseas. A lot of you'll know from our pictures that we post when he was at games in Japan. And
it's a good job he was there. He was the best player we had.
He's the only one of us that has any sort of fitness test.
He was in town with his lovely wife, and they brought some Japanese scarves.
Fantastic.
We took some pictures with those
to
give back to the team. He's going to give them to them to post on their Facebook page and stuff. So nice little international partnership.
My favorite part about the one picture is that I'm up on a ladder taking the picture, and Jack's still as tall as the statue.
Yes.
But we did raise some good money, and we not only did we have a good time raising money, but we also got to sample something, not the beer that you just drank.
No, the official unveiling, long overdue, the Second Shift Brewing Brueligan's Ale.
Oh, that was so good.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I did.
Yep.
I did. And I'm not an IPA fan.
It was a low alcohol session IPA, they call it. And it did not hit you over the head with hops. It had a nice, good flavor, though. And I enjoyed it.
For me, having been drinking all day from the United game and then going on in the afternoon, it went down very well. I'd already got the taste for the ale. You know what I'm
yes.
saying?
And I had, you know, I kept saying I should stop drinking, but then I thought, how often do I get to drink my own beer? So I just kept having another one.
Well, and it was also great because they donated the two kegs.
And money went to charity. So,
yeah, and
yeah.
So it was...
I was doing my part.
You could not lose by drinking more.
Right. They are going to have that beer at ITAP locations, and there are going to be some bottles produced. I don't know if they'll be for sale or where they'll be for sale, but we'll let you know if and when they do. But here's the thing. Second Shift did this out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, Kyle's good friends with them, and they worked that out. So if you go somewhere and you're trying to decide what kind of beer to buy, pick a Second Shift beer just to support them because they did something nice for us.
And they're damn tasty beers. And so it's not like you're picking a bad beer, though.
Yeah, I've never had a Second Shift beer that I didn't like, so do that.
Have you had a lot of beers you didn't like?
Oh, yeah. There's Tallboy Roulette. And there are beers that I don't like.
America's Pride.
I mean, I drank them, but I didn't like them. Tallboy Roulette will explain as we get closer to the season. And
that's an inside joke. You have to meet us in person to understand, yeah, to get the explanation.
I think we might have to make people partake in it.
Tallboy Roulette is a tried and true tailgate phenomenon.
It's an experience.
And there are no winners.
Only varying degrees of losing.
So if you come to a tailgate, you'll find us and we'll talk about Tallboy Roulette. You will not be able to get any of Second Shift's beers at Tallboy Roulette. They must be under a dollar a piece, I think, is one of the rules of Tallboy Roulette. Yeah.
But we had a good time on Saturday. We raised good money, met a lot of new people. Hopefully some of these people that hadn't already bought season tickets were introduced.
Yeah, I met several new people, and they were excited, and they were liking the beer and having a good time.
Luligan's had the most people there, which was a nice little ring around our crown.
Yep. We got a little bonus for the charity we were playing for, the Colon Cancer Alliance.
Which I'm going to be sending out that package to them tomorrow, so that'll be nice to give them a heads up that they're our charity that we look out for.
And they'll get some tickets to the home opener, and hopefully someone who's dealing with colon cancer, who is also a soccer fan, will get to come out and enjoy the game.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
That would be a nice little thing.
But it was quite the good time. I do want to mention I did have two triples. So that's it. That's the extent of my athletic prowess. I am now on hiatus.
We were 1-1.
We won our second game. Yeah.
We were 1-1.
Yep. Yeah, and not only did we win the second game, but we were shorthanded with two injuries as well.
People were dropping like flies.
That was when it was like, okay, this is time to quit. This is bad.
Yeah, that was the rain was coming down, and
Brad was having a dance party at third base.
I was enjoying myself.
The rain kept diluting my beer. Everyone was like, "No, we gotta go inside."
Yeah. Speaking of raising money for charity, that takes us right into our next topic.
Ooh,
we're having a holiday party December 13th.
Jingle bells, yo!
It's gonna be a toy drive for some hospital,
kids.
Right? for kids.
For Jack Maury's.
It's not a
Ewan Bird.
It's not a sex toy drive. Although.
Well, no. I think we have our next event.
This is just a toy drive. Forgive me. It's for some hospital. The party will be December 13th at ITAP Soulard starting at 3 p.m. And we'll go for just as long as we can go. This is a joint holiday party with American Outlaws. Usually Outlaws does their party at Amsterdam. This year we're going to combine forces, do a joint party at our partner bar, ITAP, and then maybe next year we'll alternate, maybe go back to Amsterdam and, you know, kind of do that thing. But
St. Louis Children's Hospital.
St. Louis Children's Hospital. And we can get a bigger donation by combining our forces. So.
And that's the important thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is being hosted, I guess, for lack of a better term, by Andy Gebhardt and the Luligan ladies.
Yeah, Andy's putting it all together. And
they're the driving force in making this happen, so kudos to them on this, because Lord knows if we were made to do it, we'd just like, yeah, just show up at the bar.
You know, really, it kind of goes back to Bird's, you know, refrain about if you want to get people out to a soccer game, it's not that hard. Just have beer. And
also, just to an event, I mean, people... just generally, and this was proved at the kickball and when they gave away the glasses, people just like turning up, having a pint, and talking about the game.
Yeah,
especially so, this time of year, you know, on the weekends, there's usually just been a slew of games taking place anyway. You know, we're all going to come in there and talk about what happened in the EPL that day.
So yeah, throwing the party at ITAP makes sense. Going to hopefully have some Brueligans available.
They are going to.
And
Sarah just, with ITAP has already arranged it.
And so. Everybody is welcome, not just American Outlaws and not just Luligans, just anybody who wants to come out and have fun.
I highly encourage it because it'll be a good time. It'll be festive.
And there'll be a lot of knowledgeable people walking around, you know, with information about both groups and the upcoming season with the St. Louis FC.
There'll
so.
Be knowledgeable people and us.
Exactly. Yeah, right. We will point you to other knowledgeable people who may be able to answer your
somebody
questions.
Somebody with a Google machine.
Yes.
I know STLFC was talking about sending a intern or a salesperson for those that haven't purchased yet. But you really should do it before then so you can get in on all the goodies.
Yeah, that's again, actually, I think the MLS Cup party this weekend, this coming weekend, you're supposed to have already bought your season tickets, but I bet if you called tomorrow and said, look, I'll buy my tickets, but the condition is I have to be able to go to the party, I bet they'd let you.
I think so. Or at least if you made arrangements.
Yeah.
Maybe a payment plan?
No, I say you
maybe
do
maybe a
it.
Little seduction?
I say you do it, you know, hostage style. Look, you right. can have my money. If I can go to the party. If not, hang up on them.
Do you walk up, you know, when you come walking up, you walk very slowly, you know, each takes a step
yes,
closer.
Yes.
And, you know, in the end, something bad happens and everybody gets upset and Brad ends up drinking too much.
That's probably the case.
Yeah, I plan on it, actually.
So anyway, December 13th, put that on your calendar. It's going to start at 3 p.m. at ITAP Soulard, but who knows where we'll end up by the end of the night.
Probably at ITAP Soulard.
I'll probably be asleep in their fountain.
You might end up at the cupcake place.
Yeah, the cupcake place is right next door.
Sweet
that's,
Divine.
That's a nice little place. And then we'll continue the theme of charity. We've mentioned it before, but last year we had a charity soccer game. Are we still going, Captain?
We're good.
Oh, okay. I saw you typing typing on the machine.
No, I'm researching.
Okay. Last year we had a charity soccer game versus American Outlaws. This year we're going to do the same. January 3rd, this one's going to be at Soccer Park.
On the nice field, even.
On the nice field. St. Louis FC is, I don't know, I'm tempted to tell them, you know, make it a half field or do one of the smaller futsal fields or something.
With the little pop-up pug goals.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, a full field, that might kill one of us. But this year, January 3rd, American Outlaws versus St. Luligans. Be a food drive again. Jason and Pat Mahoney did a good job organizing that last year for the St. Louis area food banks.
Raised a shit ton of food.
Yeah, we're going to do the same. If you're interested in playing, let us know.
If you're fast and lithe and have skills, let us know.
Yeah, you don't even have to like the Luligans. We're looking for athletes and ringers.
Yeah, I mean, we've already set out feelers to people like Petcher and, you know, any of those kind of people that once had skills that are still much better than us. So,
and those of you who all the time ask about the jerseys, the St. Luligans jerseys, this is how that happened last year. Objectivo has been in touch with me a couple of times again today saying they'd love to do another jersey for us. So, again, after this game, we'll probably do another jersey. You know, this is a special thank you.
This is how you get into the inner circle.
Yep.
The inner sanctum of knowledge or lack thereof.
Yeah. So that's coming up. Those are three big events we've got coming up.
That's a lot of awesome stuff. And I mean, this is supposed to be the downtime.
Yeah.
This is right. supposed to be when we're like dealing with our families and, you know, not hanging out with our friends, but we're still managing to have fun.
Yes. Yes.
And stay away from our families.
That's key.
I know.
Although families are more than welcome to come to all these events, and my wife will be coming to the holiday party.
I think my lady okay. wife and little boy will probably be coming to MLS party on the 7th.
Nice.
So.
I think the wife will be coming to the Christmas party. I'm not bringing the kids.
No, yeah.
Ava's going to go behind the bar.
My son would like it, but...
Yeah. Well, there's about 18 jokes I can make after yeah. that one, most involving mm-hmm. the female bartenders, but we'll just let that go because Ethan's a growing boy.
He is a growing boy. He's huge. Let's talk about next tryouts.
Tryouts.
The open tryouts happened yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go. Did either of you run by?
I was going to, but I was doing family things here.
I have no idea it was even going on until they posted it on Facebook. Oh, so, well. I mean...
This is the open tryout. Anybody could sign up. I'm not sure how many they had. I think Dale said last week they had close to 80 or 90 who were signed up.
I think so. They posted a video today.
Just talked to Jeremy briefly. He said it went well. But of course, they're, you know, when you're evaluating 90 players in one afternoon, he, you know, still had a pile of numbers to look at and everybody's notes. They had 15 or 16 coaches there
that
evaluating.
That was the neat thing, I thought, when I was watching that video and Dale mentioned that they had like 16 coaches evaluating that aren't on, you know, technically staff. They're from the
Gallagher Club. Yeah.
Right. And Dale did mention they both East and West Side.
A definite benefit to having the relationship with the Gallagher Academy. Lots of knowledgeable soccer people out there that you can call on a day like that to come in and, you know, keep an eye out on things and get opinions that, you know, matter to you.
And it's the same mindset but different opinions, too. That's the other thing where you
might
have
some guys
see
more.
They
know each other. They know, you know, if one guy says something, what that means. And you know what I mean? It's not just, you know, strangers off the street. They've got a
that
nice
might look. Actually be fun.
Well,
though.
That'd be too.
Let's bring in some strangers to evaluate.
Brad,
what'd
you think of that guy? Well, I don't like his haircut. I'll tell you that much.
I tried to get him to wear my Zubaz pants, and he didn't want to, so he's out.
He's wearing fluorescent boots.
Yeah,
so
you have to earn those. You can't just show up to tryouts with those on.
Hey, wait a minute. This isn't like the Sounders 2.
earn your fluorescent boots.
That's right.
So anyway, another round of tryouts has been completed. I know people are asking, where are the signings? They're coming, guys.
It's got to be soon.
We knew Dale had said there were contracts out to a couple people. The agents have to approve it. The league has to approve it. And we know Jeremy has said in the past they want to do a big splash when they do it and announce several. Like Colorado Switchbacks have announced one guy who – you know, it's from their market and people know who he is. That's a good thing. But Jeremy kind of wants to say, okay, we got a, you know, unit here that we're starting with. So
our core.
Yeah, be patient. We'll see what happens. Speaking of...
how does Thierry Henry fit into it? That's my first question.
He's not coming to
see us. If they're looking at guys in the MLS makeup, they can't even talk to them until after the final game, right?
Right. There's that. Also... You know,
I mean, the last thing what they want to do is get done for tapping up by Dan Flynn.
Right. I mean, and that was the other
thing.
We
can talk about it, but they can't say anything official.
NASL just ended. You know, I think the last show we did was right after the Soccer Bowl, and I was going to bring this up. Speaking of making a splash, one of our favorite players from back in AC St. Louis days.
Alex Titon.
And when we went to see Indianapolis, Mike Ambersley just announced that Indy did not pick up his option on his contract.
That was really interesting because they picked up nine players, and some were obvious that you knew,
yeah,
you know, but you kind of thought of him as a bit of a cornerstone in that franchise. And
his goal total had gone down from, you remember, the year after St. Louis, he went to Tampa Bay, and he had like 20 goals or something crazy. He didn't come near to replicating that. I think he only had 6 or 7 goals this season. So maybe they wanted more for their investment. I don't know. I mean, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Ambersley's work ethic or the team, you know, spirit, that kind of thing. So it would be nice if St. Louis is looking at him. I can't imagine they wouldn't with the history of being here in St. Louis, and Jeremy knows some guys in Indiana. I'm sure he reached out to find out, you know, what's the deal. That'd be nice.
And for Mike, it'd be a smart move because he is getting up there in the years. I mean, at this point, and not being rude, but MLS is probably not an option anymore. That time has probably come and gone.
No, and that and the fact that, you know, he plays kind of a striking an attacking player, and he's not a big guy.
Right, right.
You know.
So you know, maybe it's the time to start thinking about where do I go when my career ends. You know, he's got family here. You have the Gallagher system that the team could move
into. Lots of coaching opportunities if you wanted to do that.
You
know,
maybe this is a good play for him. I mean,
and again, this is speculation. We don't know this. I mean, we'd like to see Ambersley jealously.
God, can you imagine that if the first goal was scored by him?
Oh yeah,
the crowd would go nuts. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
To be honest, I think we're going to go nuts whoever.
Well, that's true. But Mike has some history here, and nice guy, really nice guy. I mean, he put up with me talking to him after the Indiana game when I shouldn't have been talking to anybody. but no, he's a great guy, and that would be a nice pickup. I think that would be the kind of, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this is still third division soccer. We're not going to sign anybody that's going to, you know, you mentioned Thierry Henry. We're not going to sign Thierry Henry. We're not the Cosmos. We're not going to sign Raul. You know,
nope,
we need to be realistic in what we're looking for. And Mike Amberley is that perfect kind of guy that, you know, has had a nice journeyman career.
When I went to audition for the St. Louis FC TV thing, they had us do a recap of a game.
Right.
And it was a game for the Sacramento Republic against Arizona. And I went online to look at the game and look at what I was talking about and did some research on the players I had to talk about. And one of the players had played for Toronto, he played for Chivas and Montreal Impact.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't, this isn't a bad level.
No,
you'll get a lot of players who do have played at the top.
Oh, we'll definitely see that. I mean, we'll see, you know.
You know, these aren't going to be guys coming out of Appalachian State. These are going to be some serious
balls. And Mike had a you know, cup of tea in the NFL, as they say, or in the MLS. I forget which team. A lot of these players will have been in the camps, been in the reserve league team of a MLS team, you know, maybe been on the roster for a year. I mean, we talked to Dale, a couple of the guys that were at St. Louis or AC St. Louis have gone on, played in both, you know, USL Pro or NASL and MLS. So, yeah. But, I mean, you know, when people say we need a name signing, well, we're not going to get like a household name. But Mike Ambersley is a good, you know, base of the kind of name we could get that people in St. Louis have heard of.
And for those that listened to the last episode, Dale said, you know, you're looking for essentially a Dale type of player.
Yeah.
And the guy that's a high money is not a Dale type
of
player.
Yeah. I get that vibe from Dale just by listening to him. He wants a team. He doesn't want two superstars and eight others.
Well, and that's
he seems to want a team.
That's where your affiliations come in. If we do get a name player, it'll be somebody that was drafted by our affiliate team.
For example, like Luis Gil went with AC St. Louis.
Yeah, Luis Gil was already a name in U.S. soccer circles. He was 16, a lot of potential, drafted by RSL, but was doing nothing.
Yeah.
They loaned him out to us. So we may get a guy like that.
And that's a great, and that's exactly what we want.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
Because, you know, in a year when you see your guy making it happen somewhere, you know, that's that piece that we keep talking about.
Or the other option is, you know, if we partner with a team and they've got a guy who's been injured, comes down, you know, for a little rehab stint or working his way back to full first team, you know, that's the kind of name player you might see. But
well, and the other thing is, too, is that we got to remember that the landscape has changed, that it's not, you know, the Clint Dempseys have to work their way up now.
Yeah.
Where it was, okay, they came out of college and they went right to the MLS
team. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't get to do that anymore. That spot's taken. You have to work your way up. So, again, we're going to get to see the evolution of soccer in an awesome way now.
Yeah.
I would also much rather have it that way. I'd much rather have a Luis Gil at 16 and then be able to watch his career blossom than rather have some
in the twilight of their, yeah.
Who's, you know, hobbled on two bad knees and, you know, just trying for one last payday. You know, I'd rather have the young up-and-coming star. And, you know, that will also endear.
See the beginnings of that career and the moments of brilliance that could be the future, yeah.
Well, and as we talked with Dale again, is that if you start having that, if you become that machine that produces those guys that are making it happen,
you'll get more of them.
You'll get more of them. And, you know, it may suck for a year or two, but Dale and Jeremy straight out said, we're going for it. You know, this is not get our legs underneath us. It's compete day one. So,
the way Dale was talking, it reminded me of Crewe Alexandra in Britain. They are renowned for bringing up youthful talent. You know, Danny Murphy, Robbie Savage, David Platt. All these players came out of Crewe Alexandra, you know, and they've just got this reputation for churning out kid after kid after kid who go on, and they won't represent Crewe, but they'll be picked up by somewhere else and go on to bigger and better things. And as Dale rightly said, if you become known in the industry for producing top quality players, there will be no shortage of prospects to fill their boots, because they want to make it too, you know.
It's the Arsenal model.
finishing fourth.
I was waiting, and he didn't. He just.
What? But did,
hey, Wenger.
Raiding the Southampton Academy.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. let's move along to some sadder news. Matador was canceled. That's not actually the sadder news I wanted to talk about, but
it is. It's
for those
terrible.
For those of you who, like me, were addicted to El Rey's Matador.
I'm riot till I die.
Never watched an episode.
It will not be coming back for the second season.
Yeah, the way you described it, I wasn't holding out much hope. You know, I wasn't on tenterhooks for season two myself.
I wasn't either.
But it was a great show.
I don't
while
know
it
where
lasted.
They could have gone with. I mean, the problem is they would have gotten away from the whole soccer aspect, and that would have been.
I don't know.
That's where all the drama was.
But he could have like gone
to
a Liga MX team, and you know, busted a Mexican drug cartel, and gone to Italy and busted a gambling ring.
Infiltrate the mafia. I mean, where are we going?
There you go. Yeah.
There were so many ways it could go. Like Kenny Powers, he could just go to different leagues every year. But sadly, no more. The real sad news I wanted to bring up, and we don't know for sure this is a done deal, but USL Pro, there have been a couple reports that Dayton Dutch Lions are on their proverbial last legs. Chad from Reckless Challenge, you know, first broke it a couple, I guess a week ago, when Dayton did not re-up with Columbus Crew as their affiliate partner. That was a 2-year deal, and after the first year, Columbus pulled out.
That's never a good sign.
It's not a good sign. Columbus will be affiliating with the Austin Aztecs, the new team down in Texas.
I feel for Dayton, it's a top little town, you know.
But
it is very close to Columbus.
And the other,
they kind of struggled with the attendances.
Today, wrong side of the pond. Another article came out saying that, you know, they pretty much confirmed that Dayton will not be back. They'll be moving down to PDL. So while that's not official, you know, signs aren't good.
But at this point in time, and being as fair as possible without being cruel, when you're averaging 400, 500, 600 to a game, that is PDL numbers now. That's not USL Pro anymore.
Well, yeah, and we talked about, you know, a player playing 1 week in Sacramento in front of 8,000 and then the next week in front of 500 in Dayton. It's certainly not what the league wants, you know.
Especially if that's your home field that you're going, you know, you go from an 8,000 seat stadium where you're the right. bad guy to go.
I feel
home.
Bad for the fans because, I mean, we know what it's like to lose your team. I mean, when AC St. Louis left, we were pretty devastated. We made do in the PDL, and we still had fun. And I know Chad and a couple of the other people in the Orange Legion will support their PDL team and have fun, but you know it always hurts when you lose a professional team. So
especially with Louisville coming into the league, I mean, you had a ready-made rivalry right there.
Yeah, that would have been good. And you know, Dayton was fairly close to the Pittsburgh team too. I mean, it seems like it would work, but for whatever reason, it didn't.
It's just got to be the proximity. I mean, that's
well, and I mean, in Chad's piece, he mentioned they didn't do a lot of marketing. They, you know, mistakes, you can always, in hindsight, find mistakes, but wish those fans well, and maybe it's not over. Maybe these reports are premature. Maybe they will be around, but it's not looking good for the Dayton
but
Dutch Lions.
They're a fairly recognized name. That's the thing. Even when I didn't know much about USL, I'd always heard of the Dayton Dutch Lions. They were always in the periphery
of the
American soccer conversation.
They do have a good academy system. They've got a team down in Texas, and they've got two teams there in Ohio that, you know, they work with young kids. I mean, the pro team wasn't their only, you know, identity, but again, it was probably, you know, their biggest identity. So
they played a friendly against Wigan Athletic 2 years ago. I mean, I remember that much. I mean, when we look at friendlies and stuff, I always point to Dayton versus Wigan. That could be a team,
yeah.
You know, that standard of team we could be looking at playing one day in a friendly here.
Well, and I, one of the other things in Chad's piece was their location was always iffy. I mean, that's one of the real bonuses we have with St. Louis FC, the soccer park. You know, it's only 5,000, 6,000 seats, but it's a soccer-specific stadium. We don't have to share it with anybody, you know. That's a real plus mm-hmm. in this league. They were kind of you know, on makeshift fields or ground sharing, and you know, all these little things add together. It's a hard row to hoe. So, best of luck.
Talking of stadiums, I was talking to my friend Calvino. He's a member of Jack's Militia, the supporters group out of the New Charlotte Independence team, and they've got a really nice stadium, a really nice, beautiful backdrop of downtown Charlotte and everything. He told me it's not going to be ready till 2016.
Oh.
So they're going to have to move to some sort of other facility for a year, maybe. They're even talking about going to the old team's digs, which was the evangelical team,
yeah.
Whatever they were called.
Yeah.
The football through Christ thing. So, I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
No, they were, that was part of their mission statement.
Yeah.
They were a church-based team.
But basically, they didn't really survive. But
yeah,
now you
opted to go down to PDL,
and now you've got this new team who might have to play in their stadium.
There's a lot of crazy things going on with that Charlotte team. They've got 17 logos. Or I don't know what.
Well,
it is.
Well, they may be down from 44.
Yeah, a different logo every home game.
Yeah, they still haven't announced which one. They had the fans vote on it. But they still haven't announced 2-1. That's been going on for a couple months now. The colors, the logos are different colors. I mean, they kind of have the theme of the horse and rider, and, you know, we kind of know what it's going to look like. But there are different colors, mm-hmm. too, so they don't even know for sure what their team colors are.
But they are going to be affiliated with the Colorado Rapids, so there's got to be something there, you know? Or otherwise, the Colorado wouldn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah,
so,
and that kind of caught me off guard, too, because why wouldn't they affiliate with Colorado Springs right there, you know, in their area? So, no, there's something going on there. It's just, I don't know. They said they would announce early November what the logo winner was. Well, that was pushed off, and obviously it's now December. So, I don't know. Maybe
they're introducing another 22 to choose from.
That would be funny. I just thought it was odd that they had that many to start with. I mean, St. Louis FC did a vote. They gave us two to choose from, you know.
But they also had like 15 or 16 concepts, and then they decided to knock it down to two.
But they also had these are the colors either way. Yeah. You know, it was a little more refined of a contest. This just seemed like a shotgun blast of marketing ideas, like which one do you like? So
do our job for us.
Oh, so we'll see what happens there with Charlotte, too. But sad news for Dutch Lions, if, in fact, that's true. Chad, also on Reckless Challenge. If you don't notice, we're referencing Reckless Challenge a lot, our new partners. They do have some good articles, good posts. So if you're at all interested in USL Pro and NASL, for that matter.
Why wouldn't you? Because that's where we're playing next year.
That's right. Please check Reckless Challenge. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter. But Chad did a new piece this week with all the USL Pro roster moves, the signings that have been made so far. He's going to update that whenever there's new signings, so that's a way to keep track of, you know, who's going where in this league. So please check that out.
Can't wait for it to be our turn.
Yeah, and there's nothing for St. Louis FC yet, but...
it's okay. I mean, I'm not...
We're not the only one that doesn't have names on their team list
not
yet.
Not consent.
No, I'm not either, but it's also one of those things that I can't wait for it to happen.
Yeah.
You're a Newcastle fan, though. You've not signed a player in, like, 4 or 5 years, so, I mean, this is no big thing for you.
You know, as I recall, I think we're towards the top of the table for once, so I'm not complaining.
Pod you in.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that one, but... No, we got our fair share of French-speaking Africans. That's an easy signing for us. We're the new Arsenal.
We. Next thing we want to talk about is season tickets. I think we've mentioned it already like 18 times.
Isn't it every episode we have to make a point of it to tell people, buy your season tickets?
$150.
It's a bargain. There's a payment plan.
I'm not going to sit here and criticize other USL Pro teams. That's not my place.
But I will.
But if you look online, we are at the very, very reasonable price aspect.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, that's all I can say on it. They've priced this well for us. I mean, you're not going to find a better entertainment value for your dollar, I don't think, in this town, other than going to the zoo, which is free.
You're buying into a great partnership, too. I mean, it's not like this team has just said, spend your money and shut the fuck up in the corner.
They're doing good things.
They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. This is, you're foolish if you don't buy. I don't want to hear any, you know, sob stories about unemployment or you lost a limb.
And if you honestly can't afford the $150, because I know, you know, we've all got bills, we've all got different things. I created a nice little graphic and posted it on our Facebook page. You can share that with your mom or with, you know, whoever's getting you a present for Christmas. Maybe tell everybody, just chip, you know, $5 into this fund or whatever, and maybe do it that way. Crowdsource your season ticket with Christmas gift money.
I'm going to crowdsource my house payments.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Let me know how that works, right?
Yeah. I might get 1 month, but I don't think we could get the recurring.
I don't think we'd even get that.
So, yeah, $150, however it takes, whatever it takes to get that money, do it. Also, while we're at it, I'm looking around. St. Louis FC gift shop is being refilled as we speak. They're going to get some new items, you know, restocked for Christmas. So that's another gift idea to ask
that,
for.
That was on my mom said, "What do you want?" I said, "Go to the gift shop, get me a hoodie."
Yep.
I want that hoodie. It's sweet.
They've got a long sleeve dry fit. That's got my name on it for Christmas. Really? $28.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm all on that.
So again, follow the team on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll tell you when they restock that shop, and they need to get on that because it's gift getting time. So let's do that. Let's take a break right now.
We could do that.
And
I need to do it.
Matt needs to take a break, so we'll do that. We'll come back with some questions and some talking points.
Not only do the Lulligans support the Lions, the Piasa, and the Fire and Ice, but we also support each other. Turn to Lulligan-owned businesses when making your business decisions. Get your custom t-shirts and apparel from Adrenaline Prints. Immortalize loved ones or events with a tattoo from the Washington Tattoo Collective. And use your electric for your home and business electrical services. Lulligans working together to help grow soccer in St. Louis. And now, back to the foolishness of This Is Silly with the Lulligans. And we're back. Nice little reminder here, too, is that we're always brought to you by the Lulligan-owned businesses such as Your Electric. Call Mark Gardner for all your needs. Your Electric.
You keep looking at me, but yes, I just got a tattoo at the Washington Tattoo Collective, and it is superb. Kyle did a fantastic job, so if you want any ink done, go and see Kyle and Kevin over at Washington Tattoo Collective on Jefferson Street in Washington.
And you got the monkey on the star and yep. Stars and Stripes, yep. Is yes. That what you did?
I wanted to totally defile the flag, so I got a monkey on it.
Actually, that would be improving any flag if you have a monkey on it.
Yeah, if we ever have an official Lulligan flag, it's got to have a monkey
God
on it.
Damn right it's going to.
A monkey fucking a chupacabra.
Riding a chupacabra, yeah. Flinging poop. Mm. That's my guess.
Don't tread on me.
I won't, good sir.
I've got your tea party right here.
So that escalated quickly, but yeah. At the end of the day, go see Kyle and Kevin at Washington
yes.
Tattoo Collective.
Kyle does amazing
He's
tattoos.
An artist. He's
I'm
an
not,
absolute
I'm not
artist.
Even a tattoo guy, but I look through his portfolio all the time just think, wow, that's cool.
And that's what sold it for the wife to get a tattoo, is that she was on the fence as to who she wanted to do it.
How did you feel about her getting a tattoo of my face on her butt? Sorry.
It makes it so much nicer to slap now.
Good call.
There's so many.
No.
This is going to go worse.
No. Speaking of the wife and your amazing kid, Ewan, she posted something the other day about Ewan giving a fist bump to a stranger. And I said, well, yeah, but he gave me a fist bump, too. You might want to teach him to be a little more discerning.
No stranger anxiety, has he? No yeah. Stranger anxiety.
I mean, that was great. It was the radio announcement night. You had him out there, and yeah. everybody walked by. He was fist bumping them and having a good time.
He,
great kid.
He's a social little soul, yeah.
And he knows to go to the ladies, too.
Oh yeah.
He's a flirt. There's no denying it. There's no denying it.
That's good training.
Yeah. British passport, blue eyes.
If you can get a little bit of that accent in there, it'll work.
I'm just wanting to speak right now.
No, because once they do, then they don't stop.
No kidding.
You'll miss the days of peace. I don't think Ava's stopped talking in the past 3 years.
Yeah, she went from the quiet little girl that buried her face in your shoulder every time I came to...
Well, Well, to be fair, you both wear colorful pants.
We do. Okay, let's talk. We got a few more things to hit. Talking about USL Pro, just a few more notes. We mentioned that, well, since the last time we were on, every time we do a podcast, they announce another team. And I keep checking.
I better check
Twitter just to see if there's a new team being announced, but so far nothing.
Welcome to the Northern Territories and Yukon Spurs.
Exactly. Last week, right after our podcast ended, they announced the Montreal team was coming in, which we knew.
Expos?
Yeah, the Expos.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I don't know if they
Montreal
have
Montreal
I don't know which. Yeah, it should be the D. But so now Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal all have two teams coming in.
In fact, I think they're not Impact 2. They're just Montreal FC or...
I don't know. It's a little different. Whitecaps is definitely 2. Toronto has not officially named their team, but I think Montreal's is just like FC Montreal or something similar.
Yeah.
As of right now, we're at 24 teams. Now, if we lose Dayton,
we're down to 23.
But right now, there's 24. Also, some affiliations that have come out. We mentioned Columbus decided to go with the Aztecs instead of the Dayton Dutch Lions. Obviously, all the two teams are affiliated with their owning group.
Which is a shame.
Well, we're talking about the Aztecs, though. Can we special word for their kits? Because they were special.
No.
I don't have to say much to Jeremy about kits. I mean, that's totally their call, but... these Aztec kits, they were as bland and as boring as you could get.
They were a bad indoor soccer team.
Well, it's pretty much the same as their PDL kit was last year. The badge has been redone a little bit.
I mean, for the hippest town in Texas, they were pretty bland.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
the plywood background didn't help snazz it up either.
You know, I all I can think about is that, you know, like when... coaches and managers do interviews and they have the backdrop of all the sponsors.
Yeah.
That just before the photograph of the kits was taken, that the board fell down or something. That's the only thing I can think of. Unless
there's like...
If you don't know what we're talking about, the official picture of their new kits, the background was just a piece of plywood. It was plywood.
Let's, you know, they went upscale. Maybe they're sponsored
It wasn't painted. It was natural.
Maybe they're... Yeah, this is true. Maybe they're sponsored by, you know, like John's Plywood Depot.
Yeah, it could be.
IKEA.
No, that's
particle board, baby.
I am hesitant to say anything about kits until I see ours. Because ours may be, you know, nothing special too. So,
but I also know that if it is something awful,
I'll still buy it.
Yeah,
I'll still buy it.
And I'm sure the Aztec fans are the same. They're gonna love their kit.
Oh, they're in a podcast right now about to rip ours to shreds.
That's
I mean,
true.
It's all fair.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
So the other affiliation that came out this week was Arizona United are partnering with Dallas FC.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is rumored to be one of those teams that's eventually going to do a part two, so I think this is just a, you know,
holdover.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, we'll loan some of our players out.
Can you imagine it in May, you say to a player, we're going to send you to a place that's even hotter.
Yeah,
think you're sweating and training now, son. Yeah. Wait till you go out to Peoria.
If
only we had an affiliation.
Well, and that's, you know, that kind of goes into our questions. That's the number one question from everybody. You know, when will our affiliate be announced, and who's it going to be? We've dropped enough hints. People know who the plan is to be. Also, just out from nowhere, Chicago Fire tweeted this week that some of these St. Louis FC coaches are going to be up there looking at players at a combine and some tryouts.
That's a coincidence.
Yeah, wow. I mean...
Yeah, apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
Just saying,
they just happen to be in town.
Yeah, and the Fire tweeted that out, so I don't know how official that is. But...
you can take it as read.
Yeah. I don't know when the official announcement will come out. There's another big meeting coming up at the MLS Cup, maybe after that.
And I imagine it's got to end soon, just for pure...
Maybe they'll just never announce it. Maybe they'll just... Well, they all know anyway. They all know.
Just turn it on when nobody's looking.
Yeah, I imagine there's some, you know, specific legal I that has to be dotted or T that has to be crossed before it can be made official. But there's only one team we've ever heard rumored to be our affiliate, and we've heard that rumor from multiple sources, multiple times.
Pretty much since day one.
We kind of were surprised it wasn't announced day one when they announced the team. So, you know, I would, you know, if you're waiting, just put a fire on, sit around the fire, maybe put on a sweater that, you know, says fire. That's all I can say.
Roast some chestnuts in an open fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say who it is.
Listen to Jimi Hendrix's song Fire.
Right.
Laying down with the cult's fire woman.
Exactly. So
nothing sporting about it.
There's only a few more teams that have that don't have an affiliation. Obviously, not every team will have an affiliation, but every MLS team is required to either own their own team or have an affiliate this year. So not too many left. I think we did some math, and the Red Bulls and New York City FC may be the only two,
and
Chicago Fire, who don't officially have an affiliate.
Houston? Where are they at?
Houston was with Riverhounds last year. Oh, okay. We assume that's going to be the same. I mean, it could change. Okay. So,
and Red Bull, I would imagine one of the holdups has been the potential sale. That there was talk for a while that the Red Bull.
There was that.
Is Rochester aligned with anyone?
No. Red Bull had planned on doing a two team. They said they couldn't do it this year because there was some deadline in place that they didn't meet. So I don't know. They may scramble and do something with Rochester or
another
team.
That's the natural fit. That's why I mentioned
just because they're close. Yeah. And New York City FC. Well, they don't. Yeah, they do have to have somebody, don't they?
If they're coming in,
They have to at least have an affiliate. They may just buy. We mentioned earlier they could just buy a state and make that their affiliate.
Melbourne City's their
affiliate. I was going to say, aren't they the affiliate of Manchester City at this point in time?
Yeah, they do have to because Orlando's got Louisville. I mean, there's the natural relationship there. So, yeah, I wonder, I guess New York City FC will have to have an affiliate. So we'll see who that ends up being.
Like saying that one team isn't enough, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, you know, we hope to report who St. Louis FC's affiliate is soon. And, you know. I think we've given enough hints for one day of who we think it might be.
Fire.
Fire. Fire, fire. let's talk about, this just came out today, MLS is updating their playoffs.
Wow.
Again.
In other words, water is wet.
Every season, they redo the playoffs.
When we were talking about it this beforehand, I just said, so what's the rule now?
Yeah.
Because every year it's something different. Every year I care less.
I don't know about the specific rules or format. That'll probably change too, but they are adding two more teams. There'll be 12.
Multiball.
there'll be 12 MLS playoff teams next year.
Okay, so they have how many teams in the league now?
There'll be 22.
And over half.
Well, wait a minute. 21 because we're losing Chivas, right?
Don't look at me. No. Yeah. I don't count.
I think there'll be 21 because we're losing Chivas.
Regardless, over half make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's my dividing line. It has to be less than half make the playoffs, or to me, it renders the regular season and the playoffs meaningless.
This makes me angry. Right? This is.
I don't even know if it makes me angry. It's just stupid.
I'm angered by stupidity. Well,
there you go.
That's what it comes down to. Because. When you have that, it's no different than the NHL or the NBA or MLB.
Yeah, this isn't unprecedented for a team to have way too many playoff spots.
Yeah, but it's at this point, it's no longer playoffs. It's a tournament. It is its own separate entity.
Own thing. And it's basically an MLS Open Cup, for want of a better word.
Well,
they don't take seriously anyway. If you want a bracketed tournament.
We mentioned that, you know, before we started recording. I would like let's finish the season and the Supporters Shield winner is your league champion.
Uh-huh.
And then do a postseason tournament cup match or cup thing with just all the MLS teams.
The cup challenge.
You still have your Open Cup, which would be more like your FA Cup, which has your lower league teams have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
But do just an MLS Cup of a playoff with everybody.
It's basically your Champions Cup, for a lack of a better word,
and
for
it
the
would,
MLS.
And it would, I think, make Supporter Shield more valuable, which
needs to happen.
All soccer fans that are used to European championships, we like that idea of the Supporter Shield, the best team throughout the course of the season being your champion.
I think the Supporter Shield's slowly gotten more recognition anyway the last 10 years.
I hope so.
I would say even the last few, like 4 or 5 years, I wouldn't even go 10. I mean, we never cared about it before the past couple of years.
And the other thing is, and you mentioned this, Mitch, you know, it's every year the MLS changes the playoff format or changes the, you know, how they do it. You know, this year we're going to do, you know, home and away matches. Oh, next year it's a one game, whoever has the best record hosts it, you know.
Who can kick the ball the highest?
You know, it used to be a neutral field. Now they've gone to, you know, whoever has the highest seed hosts the championship. Pick something and stick with it, and you'll have a tradition. As it stands now,
it seems to me they're shooting to find a perfect system,
right?
You know, and they keep changing it every year and not letting anything
right.
gain any momentum.
But they're trying to find a perfect solution to an imperfect question. That's the problem, is that
they keep adjusting the number of teams. I think some of it will come with stability.
Yes.
Once they get to their 24 teams, whoever, you know, those last expansion slots belong to, then maybe they'll have a chance where if they don't add any teams for 10 years or however long they decide, you can build a little stability. But I don't know. It just looks bad when every year you change something.
And people lose interest in that.
Well, Ed Bird mentioned, you know, the New York Red Bulls were Western Conference champions, you know, not too long ago. I mean, so when, you know, 30 years from now when you're looking back at the history books and you're like, wait a minute, how was New York the Western Conference champions, you know? Just silly things like that, you know. Just, you know, MLS used to be called the Mickey Mouse League. Those are Mickey Mouse things.
Yes.
I think the league is improving. The play is improving. Everything about it is getting better. But they still make Mickey Mouse mistakes.
At this point, they need to have the just single table for the Supporter Shield, and that's the end of it. If they want to use the two divisions because of travel and have that be the way that you see out the tournament,
I don't think we can do a home and away balanced schedule.
No,
anymore.
I don't think you can. But if you have the East and West conferences, and that's how you book the tournament of roses or whatever the hell they're going to call it, where you have 8 from each side, and you have 16 teams or 6 or whatever the hell it is, I don't give a shit. I mean, at this point in time, pick a concept that works, that looks traditional, and solves your answers. Yeah.
But with 9,000 people going to a playoff game in Columbus, to dilute it even more just kind of doesn't make
sense. That's I mean, kind of where I'm at. Now, obviously, we know there's a gorilla in the corner called TV ratings and money, which probably has a lot to do with why they're expanding this. I'm kind of with you, Matt. It's like, well, if we make another round of playoffs and only 5,000 people show up to those games or 10,000 people show up to those games, I'd rather have, you know, the top 4 teams and get 20,000 people at each game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's hard to complain about not having tradition when you yourself are monkeying with the schedule every year.
Yeah, And like you said, they've made so many other big strides along the way that to not get this one just settled and concrete down.
By far,
it's an afterthought.
The majority of the things MLS is doing is right. But these little things, it make you look bad, I think. But what are you going to do?
One thing.
Mitch is going to sneeze. That's what he's going to do.
Bless you. Gesundheit.
Grazie.
I mean, The team that I follow is Montreal Impact, and they were the worst team in the league, so my interest in the playoffs was pretty much bare anyway.
Yeah.
And Real had a good run this year. They weren't going to get past the press machine that is the Galaxy. But at that point in time, I lost interest, but now I, you know, I'm losing even more interest because it is the galaxy there again. It's a little bit repetitive.
The season starts and ends in Carson.
Yeah. I mean, it just every year it's going to be...
They are a machine, though, to a degree.
They are. And no slight against the talent they have. I mean, you know, Keane's had a great year again.
Robbie Rogers had a nice little resurgence for himself. I didn't know if he'd ever pan out, but he's playing great.
Yeah. I'm not you know, sliding their abilities and their talent level at all, but it's just they want.
Let's move into questions now. Pat Mahoney, just because we're already talking about the MLF playoffs of this season, Pat Mahoney wanted to know what we thought. I thought we had a couple of great games this weekend.
I went to a bachelor party on Saturday afternoon, and I was completely inebriated, so I didn't watch the game. New England, I was kind of saw it every now and again out the corner of my eye, but I couldn't tell you what happened.
It was a good game. A lot of entertainment. New England, you know, they kind of have that Cinderella team destiny about them.
I was disappointed that Thierry isn't getting his trophy moment a possibility here.
It's hard for me to be objective because, you know, obviously I'm an Arsenal fan, and Thierry Henry is just, you know, I'd love to watch the man just stand in one place. But
lean against the goalpost?
He's an awesome player. He's just fantastic.
I was at, as I say, I was out and about on Saturday afternoon, and one of the guys there was from Ireland. And
he did not like Thierry Henry.
No,
I'm assuming
he just said there's a certain karma about the fact that the team from the biggest Irish populated city was the team that knocked him out, though. He said there was kind of some sort of karma there.
Yeah, and whenever I post some loving tribute to Thierry Henry, you know, the only people who ever say anything negative is the Irish.
But that's the only thing that they can say. I mean, that's the only blip on a stellar career.
Yeah,
it really is.
And for those of you who don't know, it was World Cup qualifying, was it Euro qualifying?
It was World Cup, and it was a playoff.
Yeah, and France against Ireland, and Thierry may have handed the ball into the goal. I think
he controlled it on the line with his hand, and then knocked it back into play, and then scored.
Yeah,
but I mean.
The Irish will never love Thierry Henry for that. But other than that, spectacular.
But then the French went to the World Cup and just imploded under Dominic anyway. So
they really did.
I mean, it really didn't amount to much. It's not like they went on and won the competition.
Right.
Karmic justice.
Great career. Truly, he did make the most of his MLS experience. Aside from the fact that he opted out of playing on turf whenever he could.
But I think that does make the most of his experience. Yeah.
But if you look at the Beckham experiment and then Thierry Henry made it all about the football.
Yeah.
Beckham made it all about going on Ellen and, you know,
the glitz
and the glamour. Yeah.
And I'm sure New York would have liked a little bit more of that from Henry, but I mean,
that's
who he is either.
He made it clear. I mean, like, part of the reason he came here was he could walk down the street of Manhattan with a hoodie on and nobody would bother him. He could live a normal life.
And that's when Lothar Matthäus went to the Metro Stars back in the day. That was the one thing that he said. Being the captain of Germany, he would get mobbed walking around Frankfurt.
Right.
You know, he can walk through Central Park and nobody knows who he was.
Right. Yeah, it's been a long time since Thierry Henry's been able to walk down a street without being mobbed, and he could do that in New York City, of all places.
At the beginning, though. But I have a feeling that now...
I'm sure.
It's probably run its course, and you know the global game, people are aware of.
But he did the business on the field. He didn't play the star, you know, the prima donna, the Beckham. I mean, other than saying he didn't want to play on turf... You didn't hear anything from him. I mean, him and Petke got into it a couple times, and Petke even benched him a game. And you know what I mean? He handled it like a professional, and, you know, all's been good. So
He is a consummate professional.
Thanks, TH14. Really thanks for coming and playing in MLS. It's been great.
Brad's going to shed a tear now.
I might a little bit, but I'm sure he'll find his way back to London. I mean, he already changed his profile picture on Facebook to a picture of the Emirates. So I'm sure he's going back to coach. He may even, you know, do a semi suit up and go in when they need him kind of thing for a little bit. But I think
he's got a look at Giroud.
You could do that for indoor.
He's got a look at Giroud and Welbeck and go, I can do bad.
Yeah,
that.
Well, and look at Didier Drogba. I mean, you know, he could sit on the bench, and if you need him in the, you know, 60th, 70th minute to come in and try to make something happen, he could do that. But I think he ultimately wants to coach, and I think he wants to be a part of the Arsenal family. So,
finger out.
I don't think he's ready for that that big a step, but he does love Wenger, and you know, he could learn from him for a year or so.
Teach him how to use zippers.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me though if he went back to Europe and was in the media. You know, I mean,
TV.
He's
good. He's smooth. Yeah,
You know, he's
good looking guy.
Good looking guy. Very camera.
Yeah.
Photogenic kind of thing.
Knows a lot about the game, and
he's been there, done it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's truly one of those, like, you know, even Spurs fans say, yeah, he's awesome. So.
He's been there, done it, you know, I mean, I can't say anything but good things about him. I mean, he was amazing.
So that was Pat Mahoney's question about the playoffs. We didn't mention the Galaxy.
We talked all about Thierry Henry during Pat Mahoney's question.
Yeah,
but we're tired of the Galaxy.
No, you know, here's the thing.
Tired.
I posted this.
No,
on,
I'm tired.
You're tired. I posted this on Facebook. I probably would have preferred to see Seattle because I like the idea. I like the story. But watching that game yesterday, I wanted them to lose just because that pitch is so god-awful. We can't have the championship game on that pitch.
Have we talked yet, though, about the last round? Did you see it with the people with the pizza in the bag? Did you see that? And then
I keep seeing you talk about this. I have no idea.
Oh,
what
I have
it
to
is.
Show you. I have to show you. It's and then one of the players got injured, and all the crowd stood there and did little heart signs for the player that got injured. It was the most pathetic thing I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, holy cow! I mean, I have nothing against Seattle the club.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read the book where they came into fruition.
Yeah,
they've done
great book.
Everything right.
Yep.
I mean. The fans not so keen on, but the club's fine. I have nothing against the fans, nothing against the team itself. I wouldn't have had a problem if they'd have won.
The only thing I have against them is that pitch is terrible.
Oh God,
that's got to be the worst pitch in the whole league.
And so,
I'm glad the championship game isn't being played on that field.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with it. I mean, at no point has it ever looked acceptable.
No, I mean, they've got so many rubber pellets on it. You just see the black rain throughout the whole game.
And It can't be good for the play that at some point in time they start to bunch up
and
they
it's,
shift. They
it's
move.
Not even an artificial turf problem.
No,
because Portland has artificial turf. Even Gillette has artificial turf, which you think would be just as bad as Seattle's,
but
it's not.
It's not.
No.
Nowhere near as bad. And
but
and again, that's another team, you know, playing in Gillette. You know, they're going to need their own stadium at some point in time here, too.
Rumor is they're looking at it, which I never thought Kraft would do, so.
But I think you have to at this point in time just because of that, you know, that that's the way you have to go just for expenditures and
for
day-to-day living.
DC needs a stadium more than anybody.
Yes, they're number
shocking.
One by far and away.
And they're, again, working on it. They're talking about it. It may happen. I think there's a vote coming up in the next week or so. Gillette, the Revolution needs a stadium. That's a team that this is their fifth MLS Cup they've been to. They lost four of them.
They're Virgin and Jim Kelly.
Yeah, they are. Territory. Yeah. I'm happy about that because Dynamo won two of those. but they need a new pitch. But I don't know what it is about Seattle.
It just always looks terrible.
It
I mean,
just looks
and
matted
and the,
down.
And the funny thing is that I just... After that game a couple, you know, a month ago where it was terrible, I was flipping through the channels and saw the Seahawks playing. Okay, well, let's see how it looks for them. And it looks like shit for them, too.
Yeah. Well, and the difference is the ball isn't rolling on the ground during an NFL game.
Right. But it just looked bad. And it
I don't know what needs to be done, but it's bad.
And
in that respect, I'm happy LA won. Let's go ahead and throw it out there. Who do you think wins MLS Cup, L.A. or New England?
Heart says New England just for the underdog story. They're not really that much of an underdog. I mean, Jones and New England.
They're stacked pretty well. They've got some great players.
They've not got there through accident. But the writing's on the wall, isn't it? It's in the stars. I mean, as soon as he announced his retirement. That
would be the storybook. I'm sure that's
what
the league is hoping for,
which is exactly why I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I'm rooting for New England, but
mainly because they're the underdog.
Yeah, so, but yeah. But LA, they've proved they can play when they need to. So
if LA didn't have Landon on it, I would probably be okay with them winning. I would be indifferent. But as soon as you bring in the whole Landon story, nope, forget it. I don't want to.
You know, in 2 years when Robbie Keane retires, they're still going to be doing a Thanks at Landon.
I know they will.
Tribute. On
they'll
the
bring page. Landon out to do his tribute.
Well, and I mean, as much shit as I've given Landon over the years, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see him win a championship. He is a nice guy. He's a good guy.
He is. And he's done a lot for the mental health in sports as well. Which
and for the league. I mean, you know, nobody's done more for MLS than Landon Donovan. But I'd like to see New England win.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I also think the other part is that nobody's done more for Landon Donovan than MLS.
That's true.
It goes
that's
the other
true.
Direction as well.
That's true.
Is that, you know, he's gotten everything he wanted from them, and he never took that big step to go, you know.
It's been a beneficial relationship for both of them.
Yep.
But you asked me about it before the podcast, and we were talking about who you'd support, and I said you've got to think a lot. The fans would support New England because the underdog. You mentioned that there's a lot of people out there who are Landon fans,
mm-hmm.
and it is verging on a cult of personality with him, especially especially after what happened with the World Cup omission, and he played really well in the MLS All-Star game, and it's verging on a cult of personality that I'm not really comfortable with myself.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a big part of it for me. It really is. It's putting him on a pedestal that, while yes, is deservedly so for his abilities, the hype and the surrounding and the attention, it's a little bit more than is probably healthy.
You know, it's kind of sad that we've just talked about Thierry Henry and now we're talking about Landon Donovan, because when you put their careers next to each other, they're not even comparable.
No.
They're really not.
Well, and the thing is that you could say, well, Landon has trophies, but they're in MLS.
I don't want to discount what Landon's done. Landon's done
a lot. I'm not, but if you hold it up next to Thierry Henry.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Who do you want your son to grow up to be?
Right. And I don't think Landon's a bad guy. I think we all use Landon as this sort of touchstone of what we don't like or what we do like. You know, he's just who he is. He may not be who I want him to be. But
he's also not what they're selling him as.
Yeah, I think so, Mitch.
I think that's the problem at the root of this all.
They're trying to tell me he's Pelé.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, he's Landon Donovan.
Right. He's not the American Pelé. He's not the American Bobby Moore.
But he is Landon Donovan, and I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Just don't
tell me he's something he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it would make a nice bow on their story if Landon lifts the cup and rides off into the sunset.
And that leads me to my next point, too, and this is something I've been considering a lot lately.
It'd be nice for the MLS, though. If New England win, it'd be nice for the lottery system of allocation. You know, it'd be a real feather in the cap for pulling a ball out of a garbage
bin.
Well,
I think it would highlight the Vietnamese League and what they can do for a young player like Lee Nguyen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Lee Nguyen arguably is the Landon Donovan of Vietnam.
No,
he tried himself.
He went abroad
and was successful.
Address your letters to
at Matthew Bird 76 on Twitter. I believe that Lee will win.
Yeah, no,
best chance.
The TIFO this year, winter is coming, spelled with Nguyen.
Like, oh, right.
The big Game of Thrones banner. It said winter is coming. I loved that
That's
TIFO.
Good.
Yeah. I think it'll be a good game.
It'll be a great game.
We've got a lot of good players in this game. I'm going to enjoy watching it. I don't think I'll care one way or the other.
No, I'm not as emotionally invested as
but
I
think
was
if
when
if
KC
I'm,
was in it last year.
If I'm rooting for somebody, I think I'm rooting for New England.
I agree.
I'm rooting for us to have a good time at the pick your seat.
I think it's pretty much guaranteed.
Okay.
Yeah. We can wander out to Section 8 and pick which bleacher we want to sit on.
I already know where I'm standing.
Front or back?
Behind you.
Oh, well, nice.
I stand as far away from Keith and his drum as possible.
Yeah. If O'Kane's there, I want to be close because...
No, we need to put down the air mattress.
Put down the little exercise trampoline underneath... in case he goes ahead or off the railing again. Okay, couple questions. That was Pat Mahoney's wanting us to talk about the playoffs. Pat, that's what we think about the playoffs. Eric Von Nita wanted to know about Kits. In addition to the affiliation
Oh, the
question,
band with Gene Simmons?
Not Kiss.
Oh.
Kits.
Oh.
In addition to the affiliation question, the next most asked question we get is Kits.
They're going to be Nike.
They're going to be Nike.
They're going to be blue.
They're going to have blue. They'll probably have a little green on them, too.
Some white.
Some white.
And they'll come out in January.
They're
going to
come out.
Does the
they're
going to
come out in January. And I know other teams are releasing their kits. The Admiral teams have released them. I don't know. Switchbacks have released their Nike kit, but it's just a
template.
Just a basic template. I mean,
it looks like a training shirt.
It's just black. It's just the black shirt. It's no big deal. So our official kit won't come out until after Christmas. Now, I don't know. I'm sure they'll have an event where, you know, people will be invited. And
take my money.
Yeah.
Take
oh, yeah. They'll have them there for sale, I'm sure. And we'll be lining up to buy them no matter what they look like.
Make sure they have large sizes.
And by large sizes, we mean double extra large sizes. Because not many of us will fit in a large anymore.
No.
My 14-year-old son could wear a large. but so the kits will be coming after Christmas, which I think is kind of a mistake. I think they should have them out before Christmas, but I guess Nike's timetable doesn't care.
You know, when the original Star Wars movie came out, they had the toys from Kenner, and they hadn't made them yet in time for the Christmas rush, so they sold white boxes.
Yeah, I remember that. That's how old we are.
Yeah, I know. And you could buy this white box that didn't have a figure, but it had the card attached the figure was going to be.
Yeah.
And then when they came out, you could get your figure.
If they did a pre-order like that, they'd have to release the sketch of it. They couldn't just say, you know,
order it sight unseen.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've seen a lot of bad jerseys over the years. Now, I'm going to buy a bad jersey anyway.
I've won a lot, yeah. I was going to say.
But I don't know if they'll do that. I don't have that information here in front of me.
So what they should do is
I would love it if they did, though.
They could let me see it, and I'll tell you whether it's worth it.
Whether it's worth buying or not. That'd be a good idea.
I think we could all get behind that idea.
Yeah, sure. Especially if I get a percentage of those sales.
Good luck with that. Let me know
how
that works.
Yeah, I know. I did meet the new guy in charge of merchandise at the kickball game the other day.
Yes. Yeah, he made a point to introduce himself.
And first thing I said was, order some shit. You're in charge of this, and the store's empty, man. We need some.
Get some bigger sizes.
We need some stuff. So,
again, take my money. I want you guys to take my money.
So, Eric, that's the deal with the kits. They're coming in January.
It's gotta be soon when they're gonna release the schedule.
Schedule will be in December. In fact, the holiday.
December.
Well, yes, the holiday party. The reason Jeremy won't be at the holiday party is he will be at the USL Pro meetings when they're working out the schedule. So,
okay.
And I imagine that's got to be made worse with the whole Dayton 24.
Sure, yeah.
I mean,
makes a difference.
I imagine that there was probably a deadline that
they probably
passed.
Have to have a decision ASAP if they haven't already made it.
Probably
decision.
A month ago.
Yeah. Well, they may have already made the decision. They just haven't announced it publicly.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Got to come soon. We got to know who we're playing.
But that said, I do remember last year when I was following the USL Pro teams, they delayed that schedule a long time, and people were complaining about where's the schedule.
Well,
because
then it delayed the PDL ones.
Right. So theoretically, it'll be out before the end of January, before the end of December, but I guess we'll wait and see.
Because I imagine this time last year, the people in Sacramento were chomping at the bit.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. So, and this year, there are 12 new teams.
God.
So.
It's going to be wild.
It is going to be wild. I like it.
First game, away, Louisville. Let's go. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I just was, as a matter of fact, tweeting with the Coopers earlier today. We do need to get that rivalry going. You know,
I tried to banter with them. I tried to do it on Twitter because they were doing like, where would you like to sit? Where would you, do you think we should sit? And I just thought, are we going to go third baseline or out in the bleachers? And they just didn't get it. They were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be
on the third base side.
Yeah. I was like, oh. You don't understand where I'm coming from. Here,
I'm thinking, you know, two teams, one Florida Lee Cup, or you know, St. Louisville City Derby or something. You know, we'll work something out, but I think we definitely have to have some sort of rivalry with Louisville. And the other thing is the Oklahoma cities, their teams, they're not too far from us.
It's about an 8-hour drive.
Mitch and I were throwing around the Dust Bowl as a concept.
There was a guy, a U.S. national team player called Ricky Davis, who played for Tulsa and he played for St. Louis Steamers. So I think we're going to call it the Ricky Davis Cup.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, once those schedules come out, then we start drawing lines and putting pins on a map and deciding what road
trips.
Calling
hotels.
Yeah.
Talking with the team about buses and things like that. So
I'd say to my wife, you know, do you fancy going for a week away in the Adirondacks? Oh look, Rochester and Montreal are right here. We're not that far.
Yeah, if I told my wife we're gonna have a romantic weekend in Vancouver, she'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
who is St. Louis FC playing that weekend?
Oh, good thinking, because Erin was talking to me last night. She's like, you know, we still need to go to Seattle at some point.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one of our, you know, planned locations.
Be much easier to get a ticket to S2 than it would be the Sounders. you know. But yeah, there's a lot of great places up northwest I'd love to go see. So
there we go.
Adam has a sister that lives in Portland. We could crash with them
there
when we go
do that.
See T2.
Terminator 2.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of good banners this year.
Yeah, we're ready.
Yep. That's all the questions we have. We didn't have many questions. We didn't have a guest this week. Looking to get some guests on the next couple of weeks, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about, and as things keep coming around, each one of these little milestones that we keep hitting are big days. I mean, the next podcast will be the day after the Christmas party, so we'll be able to talk about how we did with that. But, you know, after that, then we hit January, and holy cow, we're starting to talk about things actually becoming reality.
Yeah.
Schedules and
well, maybe get some players on once there's some signings to talk about what they're expecting and where they've played. And
yeah, Dale said he's going to make them talk to us.
There you go.
So, you know, we're going to hold them to it.
Again, want to thank Reckless Challenge for making us part of their family and getting the word out about this podcast. And in honor of that new relationship, we've got a new segment we're going to debut on the show tonight. It's Matt Bird's Reckless Challenge.
It's going to be a leg breaker.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's coming in. He's getting stuck in. Let's hear it, Matt.
Studs up.
All right. First one, inaugural one. We were talking about the MLS playoffs before, and there's been a lot of times won on an away goals rule. And there's been endless bitching about it. Like, oh, no, they didn't win. How did they not win? Just because you score one goal over there and one goal over here and it cancels out this goal here. We've not had a winner, you know, and
sitting on the couch last night with my wife, Seattle won the game 2-1 and LA won the series, and my wife was like, huh?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It's just a tiebreaker. The easiest way to describe it is this: an away goal counts double, but it really doesn't. It's only in the event of a tie. And what's the alternative? I mean, you can go into extra time and have penalty kicks, but people still bitch and moan about penalty kicks being a lottery.
I think, I mean, this may be a case of people new to the
yes.
game or not fans of the European game not understanding the historical significance of the away goal. We're all kind of used to the away goal because we watch Champions
familiarity
League.
Familiarity breeds familiarity.
Right. We watch the Champions League. We watch, you know, games like that we understand, or FA Cup ties,
uh-huh.
things like we understand the concept of the away goal, and I think it encourages offensive
absolutely,
play.
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely.
Which you want to do. I mean, if it wasn't for the away goal, then you'd have teams playing for a draw. You know, now it incentivizes you while you're on the road to go get that point.
It's a part of the strategy.
Yeah.
It's a part of the strategy. You know, if you feel that you can score, if you feel you can score, you can sit back and kind of defend a bit more at home. And then catch them on the counter when you go away. It becomes part of the part of the strategy, and it's not like they. You talk about bringing in different rules. You know, this has been a part of soccer since the 60s, since the advent of the old European Cup, and back then it really did stop people from playing a defensive game. And
well, and I mean, like you said, what's the alternative? Penalty shootout. I mean, how many times have we said that's not a fair way to end a game?
I'm English. I say it quite a bit.
but you know, I mean, that's like a free throw contest to see who wins the basketball game.
Correct.
Or a field goal kickoff to see who wins the NFL game.
If you do only say away goals after extra time, then some team has an extra 30 minutes of away goals.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's not perfect, but then again, no system is.
And it's been tried and true. That's the other thing about it.
It works.
It's been working for 50 plus years.
I can't remember. There was a tie early on in the rounds where the away goal prevailed. And I think it may have been Seattle against Dallas, maybe, where everyone was kind of up in arms. But it actually worked because Dallas were going for it. They were going for the away goal.
Right.
And it led to a really open game. Whereas if it was anyone else and a different rule where the away goals didn't count double, they'd have just sat back and tried to defend against Seattle for 90 minutes.
Which is what they did. I mean, early, you know, early on in soccer, you had those teams that would park the bus,
mm-hmm.
play for a draw, don't give up a goal. And there was no incentive to go get a goal either. So I'm for it. I like the away goals rule.
I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it at all. And if you let one in at home, you've then got to go hell for leather and go get two.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it really does make for a more open game.
Yeah, and it also favors that team that started off at home as well. Because if you have a decent game at home, now you can go balls out on the road.
Now, that to me is a more interesting question. And it's been suggested in some podcasts that I listen to is like, If you are the team with the better record, or theoretically, you know, you're the higher seed team,
mm-hmm.
maybe let that team decide, do you want to play your first game on the road or at home?
Mm-hmm.
Because that can make a difference. You know, some teams like to, you know, play on the road first or at home first. That might be something I'd be willing to entertain.
But also, you sometimes have teams that are actually better on the road anyway.
Exactly, right. Yeah, it all plays in, but I mean, when I thought of this segment of the show, I thought it would be fun because you would say something and Mitch and I would be yelling at you, but it seems like Mitch and I kind of agree with you.
Oh, it'll come. if we keep doing this, I mean, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing that really grinds me about this whole idea is that it was so poorly presented that the league did not set. It was basically, I don't want to say it was sprung on people because it wasn't really sprung on people. But it's one of these things that if you have this in effect and it hasn't been consistent over the past...
It goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
Changing the rules every year.
You're changing the rules every year. And that's where they fucked up. And that it has nothing to do with the rule, the application of the rule. It's the presentation of the rule.
Well, and I think here we go back to, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when you watched MLS... There was a lot of gnashing of teeth because, oh, quit talking to me like I'm an idiot. I understand soccer.
Yes.
But they were
yes.
trying to explain it to the people who were just coming to the game. Now I think maybe they've gone the other way too much, and they assume you know what the away goals rule is. And maybe, like I said, I think the people who don't like it are the people who aren't familiar with it.
But I do know what the away goals rule is for everybody else. It hadn't been that way for MLS.
Right,
and
yeah.
And that's the problem. Again, consistency.
Yeah. But maybe a little discussion about it for people like my wife who were sitting there on the couch going, wait a minute, they just lost the game. How are they the team that, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be a balance there somewhere.
On the flip side of the coin, MLS Cup final in a couple of days' time, you've got New England going to Carson. If they do a 1-1 tie, the away goal won't count
right,
double. They'll
right.
go into extra time and penalty.
Right.
So it seems to be, you know, they seem to be picking and choosing a little bit. I would like personally to see MLS Cup final played at a neutral venue somewhere.
I agree.
Yeah, I think so.
Just for.
But they did that for years, and they decided they wanted to reward better play with a home field advantage. I'm kind of iffy on that because the Seattle situation. If Seattle would have won, I don't want to see a final there on that awful field. Now they'd love it because they'd be able to sell 60,000 seats or whatever they could open up.
Yeah,
Seattle. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a.
But they could if he was on a neutral venue. You could play it in a 60,000 seat stadium anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think really you should probably reward a new team, you know, you have enough new teams that, okay, well, maybe the Montreal Impact hosted this year or somebody
that's
like that.
That's kind of what they do with the All-Star game. They give that to a to the newer teams.
Well, then they'll just have it at Carson every year because that's what they want to do anyway. I mean, really, at this point in time, MLS may as well put an office in at
Galaxy. They kind of do that with the NFL where they move it around, but it tends to be the same warm weather climates, and then they do it in New York once, and there's a blizzard, and then they complain about, we're never going back to it.
Well, the biggest thing with the NFL, it's about the hotels.
Right, yeah,
that's why we won't have one, is because we don't have the hotel infrastructure for it.
Well, that, and we don't have an NFL team.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, we still do. As of right now, we still do. A
couple more weeks.
Yeah. I don't know. I've mixed feelings about moving it, or I kind of like the idea of rewarding a team who's, you know, they've earned home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Let them have the final. But I don't know. It's so hard here because, you know, in England, if your team, you know, is in a big important match, the farthest team away from you is still within driving distance.
True.
Mm-hmm. Here, it's going to be hard for New England to get a whole lot of fans to L.A. for the final.
That's what you saw every
But, I mean, it's not unheard of also in the European Cup is to have the whole city, their team in the
yeah.
I mean, it happened when Chelsea beat Munich. It was in Munich.
You're right.
1984, I think, Liverpool beat Roma in Rome. I mean, every now and again.
It happens.
But it's more an anomaly than anything else. But I mean, I see why they do it. My own personal preference is make it a bit of a showpiece.
Well, on the frozen tundra at Lambeau Field.
Well, I mean, and the journalists are not happy about this. We don't know where the final is going to be until 1 week before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, booking because a ticket from New York to L.A.
with only 1 week notice.
With 1 week notice.
Prices are insane. But if you know at the beginning of the season on, you know, December 7th, there's going to be a final in Columbus.
Yeah.
You can book your ticket whenever you want, have mm-hmm. your hotel accommodations, and you're not scrambling that last week. So, I mean, I kind of get that too. I don't know.
Again, Lambeau Field. It's cold. It'll be miserable. It'll be a great place to have it.
I think so, yeah.
It'll end well.
Every year the final is held in Lambeau.
Yep. Just make it easy. It'll be our new Wembley.
You know, well, that's another question for another day. National stadium. Should the United States have a national stadium?
No. That might be a future little segment we have, but no, we shouldn't. Absolutely not.
That might be a future segment, but I keep saying no.
The Columbus Crew Stadium seems to be the place to play Mexico with the Dosa Zero, but
you know,
but it's not big enough, is it? It needs to be bigger.
Fair play to U.S. soccer in the fact that they spread the wealth. They really do. It grinds me a little bit that the St. Louis has been overlooked, but we've basically got nowhere to play.
Right.
Yeah.
But other than that...
Well, back in the good old days, Soccer Park was big enough to hold...
National Stadium.
That was...
By the banks of the Merrimack.
Yeah, 5,000 seats, and they were still plenty available at a USA game. Can you imagine that?
And that's why it kind of chaffs me a little bit that we've not got a game, is when no one else wanted them, we were there for them.
When you walk through the halls of the offices at Soccer Park and you see those posters up of, you know, why is there a guy in a U.S. national team kit there? Oh, they played that game here. You know, it was a World Cup qualifier at Soccer Park and the seats aren't
full
packed
at all.
Yeah.
So when no one else wanted to host the game, St. Louis was there for them. Now they're in demand. They want basically nothing to do with us. And I understand this.
Again, I honestly think Garber, as evil as you want to believe Don Garber is, he would love nothing more than to put an MLS team in St. Louis. MLS has wanted a team in St. Louis since 96 when they started. There's just nobody here that's going to pay for it.
But surely...
And we don't have a facility.
I made this point back last year when I wrote the thing on David Beckham. Someone needs to grab him aside and say, David... Think about it. Logically, son, you need to go to one of these markets instead. It's not as groovy. It's not as vibrant. It doesn't have a beach. but it's got Time Speech by I-44, you know?
Well, and I mean, that was another article that came out in Miami's papers this week. Nothing's happening there.
No.
Nothing.
That article basically shut it down.
It basically said it's not going to happen.
So yeah. they can if they want a team here, they can put a team here. But, I mean...
He didn't go out and court owners like he did for New York City.
Yeah. And I understand why they did. I mean, that's a massive market. But this also goes back to the away goals rule. For TV ratings, for open games and attacking football, the away goals rule works, and that's good for ESPN, and that's good for the league, and I've got no problem with it.
Yeah. All right, so we all agree with Matt Bird on this first edition of Matt Bird's Reckless Challenge.
Damn it.
We like the away goals rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not to say other things wouldn't work, but I don't have any problem with it.
So play on.
Play on.
No advantage with this Reckless Challenge. It's a play on. No cards get taken out.
It's up, it's good.
That's all I got for this week. Mitch, you have anything else?
No. Like I said, everybody come out to the two events, the MLS Cup at Soccer Park and our Christmas party. I guarantee you a good time or your money back.
Yes.
And since both events are free,
yes.
Good luck.
And try the Brueligans, please. And if they're out of Brueligans, choose another second shift beer.
The only thing I want to say before I leave is that... before the kickball tournament on Saturday, the United played Arsenal, and there was probably 20 Luligans and associated friends down at Amsterdam Tavern, and we had a right good old time.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I don't get up there nearly as much as I should. I'm kind of down south, but that's the other thing. If you're a soccer fan in St. Louis and you don't know, you know, other soccer fans, show up at the Amsterdam. They always have fun.
Make yourself known.
The only time I've ever had a bad time at Amsterdam was at a USA game when there were like 5,000 people crammed into that bar and I couldn't move. But any other time I've ever walked in there, I've had fun. And, I mean, high-fiving strangers after goals and, you know, you get to know everybody pretty quick. So there'll be somebody there with a Luligan shirt or hat on or American Outlaws shirt or hat on and introduce yourself.
The fact that it is kind of small does lead it to getting packed quite easily. But... sometimes you'll hit that sweet spot where there's not enough people to make it claustrophobic, but there's enough people there to make it a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it is by far a superb experience for good EPL weekends.
Yep. So Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, we are
going to go out. Tuesday afternoons. There's games tomorrow.
There you go.
That's true.
Go on out and have some fun at the Amsterdam or at ITEP. So that's all I got. Mitch?
We're good to go. Bird?
See ya.
Later.
Thanks, everybody.